Earlier in the service, our text was read. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. When we pick this text up here, it's about 6 weeks after Jesus was born. They're not at the manger, in the stable with the animals. They're coming now to the temple. And they're coming for two reasons. One, to make a sacrifice for Mary, as all mothers had to do after their children were born. And also to present Jesus to the Lord as the firstborn. Dedicate him fully to God. And as they come to the temple, they meet this man named Simeon, who is described in four phrases in verse 25 of Luke 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous. He was a righteous man. He was devout. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. He was one of those who believed that God's promises to redeem his people were going to come to pass. And he was looking for it. And then the Holy Spirit was upon him. God, the Holy Spirit, was empowering, filling, and directing his life. And so intimate was his communion with God through the Holy Spirit that we read in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit had communicated to him in some way that's not described that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so here is Simeon. We don't know how old he is. It reads like he's an old man, and he's waiting day in, day out, knowing that God's promised Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, is going to come. And on this particular day, Simeon sensed the prompting of the Holy Spirit to get to the temple. And he arrived in time to see Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus into the courts. And you know, so it is with us, as it is for him, that when we live in communion with the Holy Spirit, when our lives are directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, he will always lead us to encounter Christ and make much of him. Now, Simeon is just a picture of what God will do with each of us. We give ourselves fully to the Holy Spirit's control. He will direct us always to Jesus, and we will exalt him in spirit and in truth. And so Simeon breaks forth in a song. It's a song of salvation, and one that those who know the Lord Jesus and behold him as Simeon did can sing along with him. We read the song in verses 29 to 32. He says, I won't sing it for you because I don't know the tune. But he says, now Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He's singing of salvation. Salvation that has come in human flesh. You know, there's a song that we sing sometimes here at Emmanuel called Because He Lives. And there's a line in that song that says, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. You know that's true, right? You have a hold the little baby. You like to hold babies? Raise your hand if you don't like to hold babies. That's what I thought. Nobody. If they're crying at the top of their lungs, then I'm glad to hand them off to somebody else. But other than that, everybody likes to hold babies. And when my kids were babies, I would just hold them. I would just stare at them and I'd study their faces. But Simeon knows that he's not just staring at a baby. He is staring salvation in the face. And so he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation is a person. And the person is Jesus. It's the meaning of his name. It's the reason why he came. Jesus, his name means the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, is salvation. And here he was, God in human flesh, come to save us. Prophet Isaiah said he'd be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God sent, God did not send, rather, an agent, an emissary, an ambassador into the world on His behalf. He came Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. And in this flesh, He would accomplish our salvation from sin. When we stare into the face of a baby, you know, a lot of times we think, wow, I wonder what this child will grow up to be. Time only tells. But Simeon knew from the promises that God had revealed in His Word that this child would accomplish our redemption. Here, wrapped in the flesh of the six-week-old baby, all of our salvation is contained. These little hands. I like to do this when I hold a baby. I put my finger right in their hand and they just wrap their little fingers right around. Do you like to do that? Simeon might have had Jesus' little baby fingers wrapped around His finger. That hand that Simeon had hold of there would eventually bear the nails that purchased our salvation. Those little feet, do you like to tickle babies on their feet? They say that'll make them stutter when they grow up, but I don't know. If He's tickling His feet, these are the feet that will be pierced through with the spike on the cross. This little brow that He might be rubbing with His thumb will bear the crown of thorns. He puts His hand on this child's chest and feels that heart beating. And that heart will be pierced with a spear. And from it will flow blood and water. All for our redemption, as Jesus bore our sin and suffering under the judgment of God in our place on the cross. This child would grow up to know unparalleled suffering, and He would do it for us. Isaiah 53 says He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And Simeon knew that, and he announces to Mary here that Jesus is going to be a sign that will be opposed in verse 34. And then in verse 35 he says, a sword will pierce your own soul also. The sword that will pierce Mary's soul begins to cut her deeply early as Jesus distances Himself from His mother and devotes Himself fully to the will of His heavenly Father. But the final stab of that sword in the heart of Mary comes as she watches Him die on the cross. No longer her son, now her Savior. This body that Simeon holds in his arms as he sings, tastes death for us. This body is going to be wrapped and entombed and sealed away. And this body will gloriously rise in victory over sin and death to secure our salvation, to secure it for all who call upon His name. And so Simeon looked at this baby and he knew, this is not just a baby. This is salvation. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. How is it that sinners are made right with a holy God? It's not by a ritual. It's not by an action. It's not by a certain rule or regulation that you have to keep. No, salvation is not found in rituals and rules and regulations. Salvation is found in a person. And that person is Jesus. And so when we see Him and we behold Him as Simeon did, with a heart filled with faith and hope, then we see that salvation in human flesh just as He did. And when we see that, we will sing just like Simeon did. So we sing of salvation that's come in human flesh, and we sing of salvation that's come for all the world. There's really not a better song for us to study together today as I look around the room and see people from so many parts of the world gathered together to worship Christ this morning. This is a global gospel song. You know, most of us, I guess, are born with this tendency to view the world in generalizations. And hopefully the Lord Jesus transforms us out of that. But in our nature, in our natural self, we tend to look at the world and we see us and them, you know? So we say things like this. You know, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the kind who like white Christmas tree lights and the kind who like colored Christmas tree lights. There are the kind who like polka Christmas carols and the kind who don't. You know, so the two kinds of people in the world. That's the way we look at the whole world. And for the Jewish people of Jesus' day, that line of distinction between the two kinds of people in the world was heavy and definite. There was us, Israel, and them, everybody else in the world, called the Gentiles. But Christ had not come for us or them. He came for all. And so Simeon sings of this salvation that Jesus brings. And he says He is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. A light of revelation to the Gentiles, to them, to the outsiders of Israel. You see, the Jews had received by God's grace all the light of His revelation through His law and through the prophets and through the acts of redemptive history. But the Gentiles were those who lived in darkness. In fact, it was for that reason that God had chosen Israel to be His own people. They were to be a light to the nations so that all the world would know the one true God. But they had kept God's revelation to themselves. And so the nations still perished in darkness. But the prophets foretold of a day when that darkness would be shattered by piercing light. Isaiah said, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, light will shine on them." And that light is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few verses after the prophet Isaiah said that, he said this: "A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Simeon knew that the baby that he held in his arms that day in the temple was the light that would shatter the darkness that blinded all the nations and kept them from knowing God. Here is the light of revelation that God was sending to the entire world. You know, as I look around today, I think very few, I don't, maybe none, but very few of us are Jewish by birth. We are these Gentiles whom Christ came to be the light of God's revelation for. We would still be bound in darkness had He not come. But He has come. Darkness has been shattered. The light of the world has entered in to rescue us and save us. But not only is He the light of revelation for the Gentiles, and we are so glad that He's that, but also Christ is the glory of Israel. Israel had once known the gracious blessing of having God's manifested glory dwelling in the midst of them. I mean, we believe it. It's our prayer, it's our aim every Sunday, every Lord's Day here in worship, and then every day throughout the week in our lives. We pray that God will be glorified through us. We seek for God to use us for His glory. But how many times could you say you've ever seen visibly the glory of God? You haven't. You haven't. But at one time in Israel's history, they did. They call this Shekinah glory. There's a pillar of cloud and fire that rested over the tabernacle in the wilderness as the Jews made their pilgrimage to the promised land. And when Solomon's temple was built, the Shekinah glory came and rested upon that temple. The place was so filled with smoke, they had to cancel services. They couldn't even function. God's glory was so evident and so manifest there. Centuries after Solomon's temple was built, the Babylonians came in, sieged Jerusalem, deported the Israelites, and among the first to go was the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel's over in Babylon. God gives him a vision of what's happening over in Jerusalem. And in the vision that God gave him of what was happening in Jerusalem, Ezekiel saw the Shekinah glory of God lifting up from the temple, heading out through the city, departing from Jerusalem altogether, and then leaving altogether out over the Mount of Olives. The glory of God had departed. And once the glory of God had departed from the temple and departed from the land, it was just real estate at that point. And so the Babylonians came in and destroyed it, every bit of it. In time, the exiles came back to Jerusalem and they rebuilt a temple. It stood there for some time, and Herod created a building project, "Together We Build," or something like that. And they renovated it, and beautified it, modified it, enlarged it. They said it was the most glorious building in the world. But the glory of God never returned to that temple until this day. Until this day. When Simeon holds the manifest glory of God in his hands and breaks forth in song, He holds the glory of God in his hands and he says, "This is the glory of your people Israel." It's no wonder that he sings. He's seen the one who was to come to bring light to those who dwell in darkness. He's seen the return of the glory of God to his people Israel. No wonder he sings. And if we behold Jesus like Simeon did, and we see in him the salvation for all nations and the manifest glory of God that's come in flesh in fulfillment of all God's saving promises, then we will sing with him. And we will sing not only of a salvation that's come in human flesh and come for all the world, but a salvation that's come to bring us peace. As I mentioned, Simeon may have been a very old man by this point, like, 50 or something. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know how old he was, but we get the idea. He was very old for his times. How old was that? I don't know. But very old. He was a very old man, likely. But he knew that he wasn't going to die. He knew that he had like a guarantee from God that he wasn't going to die until he had seen the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And then he sees him. He sees him in the temple. He holds him in his arms. He sings a song to him. And all that's left to do now is to close his eyes on this world and open them to the presence of God in heaven. And so he exclaims in his song, "Now, Lord." This is not now like we throw the word now around like it's a conjunction. This is now, like right this moment. "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word." Imagine that you know a servant who has a master. And this master has told him, he says, I want you to stand watch on the tower and wait for the appearance of a certain star in the sky. And when you see that certain star, I want you to come and tell me that you've seen that star. And all night long, through many dark and cold hours, that servant waits and watches and waits and watches. And then there it is. He sees the star that his master sent him there to watch for. And he goes and says, "Master, I've seen the star you wanted me to see. I'm bringing you the report. I've seen it. Now what do you want me to do?" He says, "Go home and go to bed. Your work is done. Your work is done." And that is what Simeon's situation is here. He has been waiting for the consolation of Israel, looking for it, the Bible says. And God has told him, "You're not going to die until you see it." "Okay, Lord, now I've seen it. I've seen your salvation with my eyes. Now what is it you want me to do?" "Well, now you can die. And you can die in peace. You can die at peace with God, because that's why this child has come." And Simeon says, "Now at this very moment, Lord, you're dismissing me from your service." This in Latin is called the nunc dimittis. It means now you are dismissing. Having seen the salvation of the Lord, Simeon knows he can die in peace. See, Simeon knows, just like you know, that every human being is going to die. Unless the Lord turns first, and we'd be glad for that to happen anytime. Today would be good. But should he tarry, we know this. We've been to enough funerals to know. We're all going to die at some point. Now, Simeon knew something you don't know. He knew that he wasn't going to die until he'd seen the Lord Jesus. You don't know that. You don't know when it's going to be for you. Could be before the day is out. Could be before this year is out. Could be, I don't know, how old is the youngest person here? It could be 100 years for some of you. We don't know. But Simeon knew that he wouldn't see death until he'd seen the Lord Jesus. And now that he's seen him, he knows that he can die at peace with God. But here's the thing, is that though Simeon knew when he would die, he'd seen the Lord Jesus, he could die at peace. You don't know when you're going to die, but if you see the Lord Jesus as your salvation, you can die with the same kind of peace that Simeon did. That's the glorious thing. If you behold him as the salvation of God, the Savior who's come to live and die to rescue you from your sins, then you can face death like Simeon did, and you can say, "Now, Lord, you are dismissing me in peace. the coming of the salvation of the Lord in human flesh for all the world forces a decision upon the human race. Simeon said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many," verse 34 says. Because Christ has come, you see, some will fall, many will fall in the misery and shame of dying in their sins. But he says many will rise. Because Christ has come, many will rise in the glorious death of a ransomed life that enters into the eternal peace and joy of God's presence. They'll rise from death in resurrected glory into a life that will never end. And so the choice that we must make, the decision we have before us, is what will we do with this Christ who's come to save us? Will we take Him in our hearts as our Lord and Savior and rise? Or will we ignore Him, reject Him, and fall? Simeon said that in Christ the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. Verse 35. So what does your response toward the Lord Jesus reveal about your heart? A number of years ago, Michael Card put this text to a song, in which he paraphrases Simeon's song this way. He says, "Now that I've held Him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace. I've seen your salvation. He is the light of the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And in the final verse of that song, Michael Card spins this a little bit to capture the choice that Christ forces on us all. As he says, "Now's the time to take Him in your arms. And your life will never come to an end. He's the only way you'll find peace, because He'll give you salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of His people, Israel." You see, if you behold the Lord Jesus as Simeon did and see in Him the salvation of God that's come in human flesh for all the world, then your heart will sing just like His did, because you will be at peace with God and you will know the joy of the Lord through all of your days in this life and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding when it comes time for you to depart from this life, because you will have been rescued by this Savior who's come in human flesh, come for all the world, and come to bring you peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.